Dear Father in heaven, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for being in the midst of us. The Lord, our God, in the midst of us, He is mighty. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for gathering us together again. Lord, as we read your scriptures tonight, your word tonight, Lord, Father, give us a blessing. And as I say the scripture unto us, Lord, like unto those disciples on the way to Emmaus. I will say, did not our heart boil within us, why he expired the scriptures unto us. Lord, and you are here in us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to do the same thing. When he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, of anything that he will do, put us in remembrance of all the things that you have said. Show us things to come, and we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Not speaking of himself, but speaking of the Lord. So it is things that we are depending upon each time you open this book, because it is the author thereof. Understand that all scripture about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God, they speak as they were moved by the Spirit of God. It takes the same Holy Ghost for us to understand the book. And that's why we depend upon you daily, Lord, and we make it to give a blessing tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We continue with our end of the age series. Yeah, whether the devil likes it or not, not to deceive the people of the world, we are at the end of the age. The book of the James said that the coming of the Lord dread nigh. And we know that part of the end of the age series is that we're talking about the Antichrist rising to power. Even though most of his time of his reign will be gone. So, but talking about how it will come up and what we do, it helps us to make sure that we are always ready. You know, just like God told Abraham just before Sodom went up in flames, you know, the same thing due to the elect of the end time. We have to take caution. Much more, so much is going on. You know, when God is about to do a great thing, Satan will throw up all kind of stars out there, you know. There are all kinds of doctrines going on in the world here. And the world has become one now because of the internet and things like that, you know. We have to straighten out these things so that we are we separate truth from error, you know. So tonight we move forward in this Antichrist reign and things like that. You know, this thing kind of lay us a prophetic timeline, actually, if we are following it the way we are doing it. Kind of a prophetic timeline, really, you know. So last time, I want to conclude, summarize what happened last time, you know. So we know that the Antichrist comes on the scene at a time of great confusion and uncertainty. Already the world is confused, really, you know. It will intensify each passing day. We know that, you know. So our flag will be any day. The day and the hour, we don't know. So, but we keep on hammering these things. That is what we want to hear in church. Know what the Bible says. So we see in Europe, NATO and the European Union, they are very significant. They have laid the groundwork for the 10 kingdoms to be formed into the Antichrist Confederacy. So when they were forming this thing, they didn't know what they were doing. They were fulfilling Bible prophecy. Nations come and go from this union, but nevertheless, the framework is in place. One day the 10 will be intact. And then I'm making the way for this wicked one to arise. So we see that in Europe, Europe is already set up. So we see that. And once the beast consolidates his power, the Antichrist will work out an accommodation with Russia. So he has Europe there, the 10 kingdoms will be there. They have to do something with Russia, right? Work out something with Russia by agreeing to some special spheres of interest between two of them. Of course, the Bible, that also Bible prophecy being fulfilled, the clay and the iron of the feet of Nebuchadnezzar, its image, are mingled together for a season, though only for a season. So it's happening right there. So we see the world itself for all these things, you know. Where the Antichrist initial attitude towards the Catholic Church, we talked about that also, is conciliation, you know. In this, we will follow the example of Mussolini. Like we said before, we can pick these things up in history. And what happened to Mussolini? He curried favor with the Catholics by when he was in power, he restored the Pope, you know, the sovereignty of the Pope over the Vatican, so you can get the Catholics. So thus, in Revelation chapter 17, we find the adult woman riding the beast. Now, in the end, the 10 kings turn against her, meaning against the Catholic Church, Vatican, and so on, and burn her with fire. These are all summaries of what we've been talking about by the rise of the Antichrist, right? Now, the next step of the Antichrist is in the direction of Israel. You see, it got the Western Europe, it got the Russians, right? Then, now Israel too, you know, we've been there, you know? See? This little nation called Israel, as we know it today, stand alone. Surrounded by a sea of enemies. Even right now, there's trouble bring up out there right now, you know? So, with the Ebola and all these things and so on, that's causing trouble in India. I don't know when they are going to have rest until the coming of the Lord, when the Prince of Peace will come, you know, praise the Lord. Anyway, so we see this thing daily, as the prophecy said, it will be in the news all the time, right? And also, the Pope will be in the news also. It has been so for decades. So the Arab world has sworn to liquidate her, meaning Israel. Israel will look questionably when this man rises up in, you know, in Europe, as the strong man of Europe. And she will be gratefully surprised to learn that this man's overtures are really friendly. In fact, he makes a league with Israel in which he guarantees her security. That is a major thing. They spend a lot of their revenue on just protection alone. See? So that's the life they are living, you know? So, of course, when the man of sin comes, one thing we need to guarantee Israel's security. Alas! Israel is blind to the nature of the man. For the scriptures refer to this treaty as a covenant of death. Isaiah 28 says so. The covenant, it will break at a time convenient to his interest. So, and as we said last time, when we met, when we talk about all these things in full, we know sometimes around the middle of the tenor of the reign of the Antichrist, meaning the middle of the 78th week, thereabout, the rapture of the first fruit saints will take place. You know, they are in the middle of the 78th week. So, the church will be gone before he unmasks himself and show his true color in the next half of his reign. Now, tonight is summary of where we are being now. Now, what's the next thing? So, there could be a tribulation temple in Israel. So, about the end of the first 3.5 years, thereabout, we don't know, somewhere in India, of the Antichrist reign, a Jewish temple will have been built. This, of course, is the fulfillment of the age-long desire of the Orthodox Jew. Who are they? They are the longing for the restoration of the temple. I mean, they have done everything. They have got everything ready. Whether the thing they use in the temple is ready today, they have a size for that today, you know. All the garments, whatever they need, is being ready, you know. So anyway, but at the present time, you see, the mosque of Omar sits astride the temple site. It's across the temple site right now, that mosque of Omar. So the government of Israel has no concrete plans right now for any change. So, and obviously, we know why. Any move by the government of Israel towards the rebuilding of the temple will stir up the wrath of the Arabs beyond measure. We know that. So they are taking their cautious. But the thing we know is this. Nevertheless, when the time comes for prophecy to be fulfilled, the temple will be rebuilt. Amen? Amen. Unfailingly, see, God's prophetic word is inexorable in the fulfillment of Israel's destiny. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The time is not here yet. When the time is here, no matter what, who is in power or what, it shall be rebuilt. Prophecy says so. Praise the Lord. So having said that, now we're going to we're talking about the tribulation temple tonight in a way. So Revelation 11:1, and I read about the first two verses. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. See? And the altar. And them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, Bible says. Now, the question will arise, why was Brother John given a rod for measuring the temple of God and the altar? Why? Why was he, why did the Lord do that and so on and that, you know? See, when we are asking a question about scripture, we have to, you know, no scripture is of private interpretation, amen? We have to find the answer from the other part of the Bible, amen? Praise the Lord. We can find the answer why he was given a rod in the other part of the Bible. Because, first of all, Brother John was a divinely appointed representative of the church of the living God, amen?
Amen.
And the church is to have part in judging the world. Praise the Lord. That's why he was given the rod. Because we are told in 1 Corinthians 6:2 that we are going to judge the world, right? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by us, by you and me, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest things or matters? The apostle wrote by the Holy Ghost this thing because in the Corinthian church, brother taking brother to court, to athlete court, right? Can't the smallest sins among you judge any matter that you have among you? That's why the Holy Ghost brought that truth out, you know. Where is that the only place where the Bible talk about we judging the world? No, even in the Old Testament, in the prophecies of David, Psalm 149, he mentioned the same thing. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. And you know, and this honor have all the saints. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even if the Lord come today, the person who was saved yesterday has that authority and power. Amen. This honor have all the saints. Praise the Lord. We cannot see why the Lord was given to Brother John to measure the temple. Now, that's not the whole story. This is yet another temple. I mean, there's one more temple to come after this tribulation temple called the Millennial Temple, which we won't dwell so much on tonight. So, but this one here is the tribulation temple. Why? How do we know? Judgment is to come upon this tribulation temple. For we see that the holy city, Bible says, at this time will be trodden down underfoot by the Gentiles. So that temple will be judged, and some of that, you know, will be judged. So, and what will happen is the Antichrist, who made a covenant with Israel, will treacherously break it, the covenant, and take over even the temple. That's what the Bible says there, you know. So we see that, indeed, his co-partner, this attack co-partner, called the false prophet, will go within the temple, set up his throne there, and represent himself as God. Bible says so, you know. So we are told in Daniel 27, that during the last half of the week, middle of Daniel 78th week, he breaks his covenant and causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What the Orthodox Jews have been running around, oh, the temple is that rejoicing, is beat and so on. And then all of a sudden, this man come over there and stop the sacrifice and the oblation right there, you know. Where this happened, what's the next thing? This event is called the abomination of desolation. And it's a crucial event in Bible prophecy, even of which the salient facts are as follows. Is so important in Bible prophecy. Even the Lord himself, Jesus, spoke of this abomination of desolation in Matthew 24:15. I'm going to read a couple of verses from there. So even the Lord, when he was ministering, talked about this. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is of the on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For there shall be great tribulation. We see that in the Lord said it, great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So there are, again, while we talk about these things here, and there are many things going on and talking around, even this prophecy has been misinterpreted in many quarters. Once I was asking me a question about when the Bible says, woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. I try to apply the prophecy to people who are elsewhere. This is happening right in the land of Israel. Praise the Lord. So that's why we are explaining this thing here. All kind of doctrine are going around in the world, you know. So we have to open our ears and understand the scriptures. Well, anyway, from this we see that the abomination of desolation and the taking away of the daily sacrifice are simultaneous events. They occur at the same time, you know. So the abomination of desolation and the taking away of the daily sacrifice are simultaneous when they happen, you know, in the near future. Furthermore, we see that these are of the most ominous nature, sinister nature. These things are something that, you know, that we are talking about right here. Those who will escape its terrors must, at the moment it occurs, lose no time, according to the Lord's warning, you know, but flee at once to the mountains, you know, and the mountains of Judea, right? The event inaugurates the great tribulation, as the Lord Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation. Matthew 24:21, which I have already read before. So all these things happen around, you know, the tribulation temple and things like that. You know, it will be of such fearful nature that unless Lord said the days were shortened, no flesh should be left on this earth. That's how terrible it will be at that time. Where the Lord added that in those days there shall be false Christ and false prophets who will show great signs and wonders. We are to take note of every word the Lord says, you know, especially for this end of the age. All this takes place just before the coming of Christ in visible glory. What he is saying here, you know, because we are taught in Matthew 24:29, I say that this takes place, you know, just before the visible coming of Christ. The rapture has taken place already. You know, so and we try to emphasize all the time. Many Christians are confused by the coming of the Lord. Like we said tonight briefly about the middle of the 78th week, we believe before just he unmasked himself his true nature, and before he turned from a lamb to a dragon, we believe the church will be gone. That's what we see from many other scriptures, you know. So, but what the Lord is saying here is another coming of the Lord. In Matthew 24:29, the rapture is a secret catch away of the bride. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. See? So, and so, but this one here is different. It's after the tribulation and so on. And it's even said in Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the another. So just before the visible coming of Christ, this thing happened and so on, you know. Well, there's a popular saying or believe. In the popular mind, there is but one world leader. You just say the Antichrist. That's what they say, you know. But the Bible tells us differently. So, in the popular mind, there is but one world leader, and they call him the Antichrist, you know, who is termed the Antichrist, right? But the law said there will be false Christ, right? And false prophets, right? Even right to the end. And there have been many of them to today. They have been coming and going and so on. But even at the time of the tribulation and so on, there will still be more than one Antichrist. As the Bible says us here, you know. At the time of the end, there will be not one but two Antichrists actually operating with unprecedented powers, as is revealed in Revelation 13. What do I mean by these two Antichrists and so on? That, you know, the scripture distinguishes between the two by calling one the beast and the other the false prophet. See, there are two personalities, but people always match them together. It's okay to do that, like they're an Antichrist, right? But here, by God's grace, we're just following the scriptures to lay the things the way the Bible laid them, you know. So people often confuse the two, really, generally seeing them as one individual whom they refer to as the Antichrist. But there are clearly two persons, not one. One of these two figures, like I said before, is the false Messiah that the Jews will accept. And the Lord told them in John 5:43 about this personality, "I'm come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive." So the Lord was saying here that, look, Israel, I'm your true shepherd. But alas, he was rejected because the Jews expected what? The Messiah to appear as a great warrior, you know, who will deliver them from their enemies, the Roman and so on, that, you know. They forgot that the prophet has talked about the coming of the Messiah, also talked about humiliation. They didn't remember that one at all, you know. How he was born like a baby. Do you remember that? How he will suffer. Isaiah 53 said, all right, you know, how he will suffer and the suffering and so on. He has no comeliness, also that we should desire him, you know, the suffering of. They forgot about all those things. They were thinking about, oh, how he will come and liberate them from the body of the Roman, come as a great warrior, the Messiah, and all that, you know. They didn't believe that, you know. So anyway, so another one will come, right, whom they will receive and all that, you know. So, and instead now, he came in humility, the Lord came in humility to die, that he might redeem mankind from his sin. Since he came to his own, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, and his own received him not, the Lord said that another will come in his own name. Evidently, this man wielding a great military power, and this person they will receive, because we are told in the Bible that it is so powerful militarily, they say, oh, who can wage war with him, you know, has a military power. See, so that is the Messiah, the true Messiah, you know. They didn't scroll properly, you know, what the Messiah will do and how he will come. That's not even one coming of the Messiah, you know. They didn't know that, you know. They are focusing on the present trouble with the burden the Romans are putting upon them. So we read in Revelation, so then who is this man then? Who is this man? So let's see, there are two figures. In Revelation 13, there are two figures in there. The first one is verse 1 of Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. We talked about this long ago in our Revelation series. I won't dwell too much on this tonight. That's one personality, that's one figure in India. In verse 11, the Bible talks of a second personality, different from the one. So I'm saying it's not just one Antichrist, yeah, you know, kind of, you know. So in verse 11, we are told, and I beheld another beast. There was one in verse 1, right? Now in verse, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he speak as a dragon. So there are two figures mentioned right there in that chapter, you know. So this man, in this verse 11, is not the one in verse 1, as you can see for yourself, you know. And we have more information about this second beast, this second figure. And that is in verse 12 I could go through them to give us a bearing here. You know, it won't be a long night here, this tribulation temple and so on. And he, meaning this second one, exercises all the power of the fourth beast, so that is the fourth and second one, right, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the fourth beast. See that? Whose deadly wound was healed. And it doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven, and on the earth in the sight of men. And we keep on going here. And look at this, verse 14. And it deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Talking of this second one, this second figure, different from the first one, he will do all these things. So, this second one is actually called, Bible called this second figure the first prophet. Let's get the picture for that. Where the Bible says the second is the first prophet. Revelation 19:20 tells us that. And the beast was taken, and with him, that's the first beast, right? And with him, the first prophet that wrought miracles before him. Because in verse 14 of Revelation 19, we are told that he deceived them that dwell on the heart by reason of the miracles. So 13:14 said the second one working miracle, right? So is the fourth down. We know it's the first prophet, because in Revelation 19:20 we're now told, and the beast was taken, meaning the first one, and with him the first prophet that wrought miracles before him. You see that? That's how we know the second one is the first prophet. So, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. So these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. There's another reference in Revelation 20. I will skip that. We know the second one is the false prophet. So we know that. So, well, the false prophet then is the one who works miracles. We are seeing two scriptures right now. Revelation 13:14, Revelation 19:20. He does not work independently anyway of the first beast, though, but is allied with him and the dragon also, meaning Satan, in the triumvirate, or if you like, unholy Trinity. Praise the Lord. See? Unholy Trinity. That is, all right? So, it is the devil's mimicry of the Godhead, really. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? He has his own unholy Trinity, right? In that unholy Trinity, what happened? The dragon himself imitates the Father. The Antichrist imitates Christ. And the false prophet, meaning anti-spirit of God, glorifies the Antichrist, thus completing the unholy trial. See? It's an imitator, different imitator, right? So right there, making the Godhead and so on. These three act as one in their hellish deeds, as is shown us in Revelation 16, verse 13. And I want to read that. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan himself, out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Can you see how there are two right now? The dragon is their father of them all. So the second one is the false prophet, right? And that scripture will show that, you know, not just one. See? Idea. So what you can say now, the false prophet will come out of the earth. Like the Bible tells us in Revelation 13:11. He will appear to be a preternatural being when he does. Bible tells us that he exercises all the power of the false beast before him. 13:12 of Revelation. So the 10 horns on the first beast indicate what? Political power. Your 10 kingdoms in Europe, right? You know, as we said, and they were crowned, right? So that's political power right there. But the 2 horns of the false prophet have no crowns, according to the Bible here. Where, if his power is not political, what will it be? It must be in another sphere. And what can we say? Obviously, a religious sphere. Has to be a religious sphere, you know, this false prophet. Thus, this second figure, the false prophet, is the prophet of the devil and of the beast. You know, that's what it is, you know. So that's what it is, exposing him right there, you know. His authority will be accredited by superhuman powers, albeit they are lying signs and wonders. See? By his wonders, he will deceive the world and persuade its inhabitants to worship the beast. He thus will bring an absolute union of state and religion. Religion and state will march together under him, this false prophet. It's a religious figure, right? It's going to happen. See? The ground has been laid for all these things. Bible prophesied there. Although he will appear before the world as a lamb, we are told in the Bible here, in his mimicry of Christ, and as a false messiah, he will indeed be a wolf in sheep's clothing. For he will speak the words of the dragon, meaning Satan. 13:11 of Revelation tells us that. Where, on the other hand, the false beast will be like a warrior, and like the Roman emperors of old who received worship. This beast will demand and will receive worship. See? That the Roman emperors of old did. So it will do the same thing. This false beast and so on, you know. So we see now what happened. Talking about the temple, right? The false prophet now intrudes into the temple, that tribulation temple that we're talking about tonight and so on. When the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, it is clear that the temple of God is involved. Revelation 11:2, which I have read before. The false prophet will cause the offering and sacrifice to cease, and upon forbidding the regular worship of the Jews in that temple, he will set himself up in the temple as God and as the Messiah. Large numbers will receive him, even as the Lord foretold in John 5:43 that I read before. But others will refuse. And then the terrible persecution will begin, as the Lord indicated in Matthew 24, that I tell you, say, then shall be great tribulation, right? You know. And where other scripture also give graphic description of the activities of the false prophet, referring to him as the man of sin or the son of perdition. We can quickly go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning from verse 3, you know, what will be happening in this tribulation temple, you know. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day cannot come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, the apostle wrote, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, added with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but are pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me say this. There are some other interpretation of this piece of scripture. Some say it happened in the past and so on, that you know. Epiphanes and so on entered the temple, of God at that time, and they kill a pig and so on, you know. These are just like many other Bible prophets that have many, many fulfillments. This is one of such, but the primary fulfillment is for the end of time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, those people think that have been fulfilled. Yeah, that's just like a type of it. Many Bible prophets have double, triple fulfillment. The primary fulfillment of this one, the cover told, it shall be destroyed by the brightness of the coming of the Lord, right? So if it happened, did that happen in that time? No, it didn't happen. Praise the Lord. So when you hear people talking about this thing and say, it's out there, they say, oh, this is already taking place. It's just a type. The written is still coming, right, in the near future. So like I said, that could have been possibly an historical fulfillment of this prophecy, even as there is a double fulfillment of many other prophecies. But the primary fulfillment must be at the coming of Christ, as verse 8 tells us. Those who receive him, meaning this man of sin, will receive his mark to their everlasting sorrow. Others will recognize him for who he is, the man of sin, the son of perdition. They will take the warning of the Lord Jesus and flee to the mountains of Judea. Even that prophecy had been fulfilled one time, 70 AD, amen? Amen. Another prophet that happens, and it happened multiple times, right? 70 AD, it happened. They had to flee to the Judean mountains, those who believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the real fulfillment of this thing will come at the end of the age. So those who are unfortunate enough to delay their flight from the city, and apprehended by the officers of the beast or the false prophet, we have no alternative whatsoever. Buying and selling will be limited to those who can identify themselves by the mark. Book of Daniel, referring to these last days, tells us in Daniel 12, the first verse, and I'm going to close from there, the first verse of Daniel 12. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to this, to that time. But he also adds in that same verse that at that time also, he said, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. We know tonight, not our subject, 144,000 Jews will be sealed and protected, Revelation chapter 7. So, but tonight, not our subject right here. So, about this time, however, there will arise a powerful enemy of the Antichrist and the false prophet. There are two men coming, two prophets. They will be the two witnesses. These two witnesses will baffle and frustrate the Antichrist regime at every turn. The ministry of these two prophets will be discussed in our next session. Praise the Lord. The tribulation temple, you know, see the the false prophet, see the beast, the dragon, and so on. So with what is happening, yeah, it's okay for the Orthodox Jew to be rejoicing. It won't be the temple and all these things, but judgment lay in there when it comes to. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, the kingdom of God is in parables to the people of this world, but you have had mercy on us. Even the thing that kings and prophets saw that they should understand this thing wasn't given to them. Even those who wrote it, they were wondering, unto whom do these things appertain? The Holy Ghost said to them, not unto you, but to the people to reveal at the end of time. Even the things that angels decide to look into are being revealed to us at the end of the age. What a time it is, Lord, to do for us, to make us to be always be ready, be ye also ready. And now you think not, the Son of Man cometh. It will hasten our preparation. Be like the Abraham of our time, intercessors, Lord, because the last one was coming, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for blessing us, he's blessing all the time. And most of this are come from the book of Revelation. And we are told, blessed is he that readeth and doeth the words of this prophecy, for the time is at hand, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's never be like them Jews who did not remember or know the day of their visitation. But Lord, oh Lord, to be sober, be vigilant, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. And so shall we, Father, being Lord. I count us worthy to escape all these things, Father, shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I count us worthy to keep the word of your patience too, that you also will keep us from the hour of temptation that come to try all that dead upon the face of the earth. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tonight, by the grace of God, we will have Brother Charles to help us.